worldwide VBS radio, and we had more people come in on the conference call line. I welcome those. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Susan from Mesa.
I hear Susan from Mesa. Good morning.
Morning.
Rosalie from Dallas.
Good morning from Dallas. Welcome to the call.
Hey, it's Carla.
Hi, Carla. How are you?
Doing just fine. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hey,
hey, hey. Good morning, Carla.
Morning.
Hi, Carla.
Hello there.
And we had more people join in. Welcome to you all. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Debbie from Costa Mesa.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the call.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yes,
good morning. Good morning. This is Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
Morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Wynn.
What's up, Wynn?
Have you been on the call before?
This is my first time here.
Today.
Please stay in the background and listen, Jeff.
I'm sure it'll come naturally to you.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Ice?
Doing well, my friend. How are you doing?
Good. Good.
All right.
Chris, are you being good?
I sure am, man.
Did you get a job?
I'm doing an online guide for Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha?
Yeah. That's where people text in questions and they come to me.
And you're giving them the answers, okay?
Well, most of them are kind of already in there, but sometimes you gotta look stuff up or tweak it a little bit.
Don't lead anybody astray.
Well, I've already been corrected a few times for bad answers.
I'm sure you're right for that.
Those who just participated in to the call, if you want to please say your name and location.
Hey, hi, this is David Mason.
Vaughn at North Hollywood.
All right, I hear Vaughn and Dave. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And by the way, now we're going to do this for Dave. Let's give him a cheer because he got a job.
Yay,
Dave.
Yay, Dave.
Yay, Dave.
Yay.
I should have checked to make sure he didn't lose his job. Still have your job, Dave?
Yeah.
Good.
Right. Okay.
It's an empty office right now. We're putting together furniture.
All right.
Great.
Welcome those who just came into the call. Welcome, and thank you for being here. If you want to, please say your name and location.
I'm Wells from Chicago.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Susan
and
Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Who else got a job?
Rosalie.
Let's hear it for Rosalie.
Yay!
Yeah, thanks
for
all
the help.
Things are looking up for everybody.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Ben.
Yeah.
Don't see you as being a moderator. I cannot find you at all, actually, in the fallen name list.
Oh, really? Call back, okay?
Okay.
Maybe I put in the wrong code.
All right.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve. I'm in McLean, Virginia.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Really good. How about you?
Yes, fantastic. Thank you for being here.
I'm psyched.
Where's McLean?
That's like downtown D.C.
Oh, it's really
McLean. It's where the CIA is.
Where the rich people live.
Yeah.
Lots of rich people
some
in Virginia.
Where Booz Allen
is.
Where are the rich people?
McLean, Virginia.
Dona.
McLean, Virginia.
That's where I'm at, Wynn. This is Steve's office.
Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Hi.
Hey. Hello.
You know, Steve and I are really good friends from another lifetime. And
yes.
we figured it out. Steve, are you in McLean, Virginia?
I am. I'm in McLean.
Are you one of the rich people there?
No, I wish I was, but I'm surrounded by them. Yeah, and a bunch of bad guys that work at the CIA.
Right, that's what I'm concerned about.
Okay. Yeah.
Stand for corruption.
They're almost. Is Terry on the line?
I'm here.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
And guess who else is here? Carla Rickard.
Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Wynn. Good morning, Terry. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
We have some more people join in here in the last minute. If you want to, please say your name and location. Then I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good morning. This is Roger in Austin.
Hey, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And we are 5 minutes past the hour.
I think we are about ready to start. We are about not ready to start. Everyone's not ready, right?
But ready.
We're never ready, guys. We just show up.
The show up crew. All right. Well, let's see here. Am I clear? My Skype isn't cutting up this morning, Heis?
Sounds good.
And thank you for the wake-up call, even though I was up, okay? And, can't tell with me, though. So.
All right. Now everybody's awake. Did you hear the rooster?
Yeah. who did that? Dwayne, are you on the line? Hello, Dwayne. I see Lucy's on the line.
Yeah. Hey, Dwayne isn't here.
Dwayne isn't here. And I see Francis is on. Hi, Francis. Are you there, Francis? Frances in Concord?
She is here, yes.
She's just shy this
morning. Hi, Frances.
I Win, by the way, I did implement a new policy last week, and it is prior to the call, we have a kindness-only time with zero tolerance. So I don't know if that's going away, but however.
That sounds good. Okay. I'm glad you told me, so at least I can abide by it, all right?
Yeah.
And I see Eric in Phoenix on the line. Hi, Eric.
How are you, Wynn?
Good morning, Eric. We were thinking about you for a day. Now, you know, we came back from Denver, and we arrived in the Phoenix airport, and Eric happens to be a concierge at the Hilton Hotel. And so he arranged for us to stay at, what was it called? Hampton Inn, which is a subsidiary of Hilton. And Terry and I were at the Denver airport, and we missed our plane going to Denver, and then we had to take the one 2 hours later. So we decided to get to the Denver airport 4 hours early, and we weren't going to miss our plane. And we were sitting at this little French restaurant waiting, and then Terry said, should we go to the plane now? I said, no, we got plenty of time. And I forgot. I forgot how far you have to go in the Denver airport to get to the plane. And, you know, you have to take a train, actually. And guess what? We missed our plane.
Oh, no.
So we had a we slept in the airport. We missed our night in the Hampton Inn. And then we took the 6 a.m. plane to Phoenix and decided we were so tired we would stay in Motel 6. But you know what? We were sleeping all the time, so it didn't matter. When you're sleeping, Motel 6 is as good as a Hilton. Usually. Unless there's bed bugs. Eric, does the Hilton ever have bed bugs?
You know, I think they do. I think a lot of hotels do nowadays.
They do.
But they quarantine it, and they take all the mattresses out, everything, if they find any.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw when I was reading the airline magazine, you know, where they sell things, they have this new special suitcase that you can plug in, and it heats up and kills all any bed bugs that got into your clothes.
Oh, that's priceless.
Yes.
Burn your clothes up.
Here in Phoenix, we just put our suitcase outside. Right now, it's 103. It's 10
right.
a.m., so that'll kill them, too.
Right. Well,
take them in a bag and out in the sun in this weather.
They probably don't sell too many of those suitcases in Phoenix, right?
No, not in Phoenix.
So let me say, we haven't started officially yet. You know that we start officially when we push the record button. Is anyone on the call for the first time today? Is Vaughn on the call?
I believe him to be here, yes.
Vaughn, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Did anyone show up this morning?
Yes, Ken Rocher showed up, and there were some emails for people, and they may be lost in, I don't know, some dimension. But anyway, it's Ken and myself.
Okay. Stefan is not there, huh?
No.
Hi, Ken.
I'm checking my emails to see if anyone is trying to reach me last minute.
Okay, this is a first-time historic event. Tell you what, let me see. I see Jan here in Canada. Hi, Jan. And I'm only saying hello to people that I know.
Hi.
Is that Jan? We're regulars that won't be embarrassed. Okay. I want you to know we're not quite up to the government yet in terms of prying. Well, we do get a list when people call in of everyone that calls. I see Joel in Chicago. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. And who else? Well, let's see. Donald Herman is here.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Len.
Hi, Don. And I only say hello to people that I know so I don't embarrass anybody. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is 10:12 a.m. on June 30th. We are almost at the end of the month. What do we have? Terry, one more day?
Today is the last day of the month. Tomorrow's the
30 days
day of July.
April, May. Wait a second. 30 days.
30 days.
Past September,
June.
April, May, June, and September.
June and Sombrero.
All right, so this is the last day of the month. Tomorrow is July 1st. This is our Sunday morning grid healing. And Terry and I always are very fond of the 4th of July. Believe it or not, before I knew Terry could channel, Terry and I have known each other for years, and we used to struggle to make a living and do things to make money. And one of the things we did on the 4th of July is we used to sneak into events that had fireworks, and we would walk around in the crowd selling those little glowing sticks. And we had never made so much money per hour as when we did that. I mean, it was like, you know, this idea of abundance. You stand there with those little glow sticks, and people are pushing to get up to that need them for their kids, and everybody would buy one. So it'd be like suddenly you're making $100 in an hour or $200 in an hour. And I just wish that July 4th could have been every night in those days. And, Terry, why didn't you tell me you could bring in the Elohim? Jeez.
Well, I tried to introduce you to counseling in 1995, and you just said you didn't want anything to do with it.
Well, I know why I didn't. And the reason was because I said, geez.
It was going to change your whole life. That was why.
Well, I was scared that I'd get some right information from a channel, and then I would give up my power, okay? And I didn't trust my ability to discern, and I probably have had past lives. In fact, I know I had past lives where I had that experience, because channeling in itself, and Carla certainly knows this, is a crapshoot, because when a voice starts talking to you through someone else, you have no tools for figuring out who that voice is and what their intent is. And so many people will elevate channeling and put it on a pedestal and think if a message comes through somebody, then it's got to be divine, and you better do what they say. You better listen to them, because it's magical. And I'm sure I had that experience in past lifetimes where I was deceived from that, and there was no way I was going to touch channeling at that point. And even when I was involved with Daphne for the first period of time, and Terry, I said, how do I know I can trust this? How do I know I can trust this? Who are these guys? Are they really here to help? What's their intent? And it took me a few years of paying very close attention, studying it, and I think tracking the things through history. And I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the picture of Terry and St. Catherine. Because I couldn't imagine the negative doing something like that. And then, of course, I read St. Catherine, and I said, sounds okay to me. And, you know, just slowly but surely, I began to trust this work. But even so, if you listen to our channelings, and you'll note that very, very rarely, if ever, do they tell you to do anything. Even when people ask them, even when people want to give up their power, they are so masterful at rearranging a question so that it empowers you instead of disempowers you. Because I know how it feels that when you're really, really up against the wall, when you're really stuck, it's like you're desperate and you'll do anything. And if somebody comes and says, do this, then you'll give up your power. It's easy to give up your power because you're feeling so desperate. Now, there's another very good thing about being up against the wall. And what is the good thing about being up against the wall? Well, there was a book I read a long time ago, which I can't remember the name of at this point. And the guy said that no one will ever go through their dark night of the soul unless they have to, unless they're up against the wall. Because when you go through your dark night of the soul, and that is a Catholic term, but in putting it in the context of how I mean now, every one of us has a huge amount of garbage inside of us. We've got a track. We have past lives. We have traumas. We have terrible deaths. We have guilt for things we've done. We have God knows what. And it's there, and it's, oh, you could say it's buried under the surface. And we do everything we can to avoid dealing with that. Because when you start to deal with it, it's painful. And it can be really painful. And it can sometimes go for quite some time, depending on how much is there. So we distract ourselves. We have our pain. We look for another bad relationship. We do whatever we do to avoid that part of ourselves. And when you're up against the wall, and what this guy said was, when people are up against the wall is the only time they will go through their dark night. The dark night means to me when you finally allow that stuff to surface and let it come out, and that if you do that, on the other side of it is the part of you you've been waiting for, your spirit, your God side. And so if some of you are going through that now, this dark night, if some of you are feeling up against the wall, a really good way to think of that is to have gratitude that it's coming up. So let it come up and say, well, okay, I'll deal with it. And what does that mean, dealing with it? It means getting up every day and saying, oh, how can I say it? Feeling helpless. Feeling like I don't want to get out of bed and face the world. It means feeling sad. It means having tears in your eyes. Now, you don't have to know all the reasons you're feeling this way. You don't have to know that the things you did in your past lives, you don't have to know any of it. You just have to let it surface. Bite your tongue every day and let it surface until it clears. Because on the other side of that is what you're looking for. And if you hold that part down, if you don't deal with it, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on your own enlightenment. You could miss out on your own graduation. And if you let that come up, not only will you have that experience, but you will also be a much better light holder for other people, because you will have more compassion and you'll be able to hold the space for other people when they go through that. You know, when somebody's going through that, it's not easy to find friends because all this garbage is coming up in you. And everyone's going to judge you. And everyone's going to find reason that you're not worthwhile because you don't look good. You don't feel good. You're not working. You're this or that. Well, that's the thing about this group that's good. That's the thing that when you're going through stuff like that, we are providing this anchor. On a three-time-a-week basis, we're providing hundreds of things that you can read, look at, and to hold the space so that something is there for you that gives you permission for yourself to allow yourself to go through your own dark night of the soul, and that it's very hard to go through when no one is there for you. In fact, it could be dangerous to go through, because when it finally comes up, you can feel so helpless that you can kind of, you know, disappear. You know, some of you have experienced that. You know how you bite your tongue and you're like hiding all this stuff in yourself and putting on this good face to the world, and you know, you think you're fooling everybody. You're not really. Everyone knows it, but no one wants to deal with that part of you, so they'll let you do it. And we just have this role of what should we say, fronts. We put on good fronts. That's the way the world works. That's why people are stuck. They get stuck in their position because they never go through their stuff. They're just putting on a front that they think will be acceptable to other people. So, and then you fell in love and you felt totally accepted by someone. Now the falling in love felt really good, and shortly thereafter, something in you said, "Oh, now all my stuff can come up," and it does. You know, all the parts you were holding in can release. Now, in a good love relationship, it will release, and the person will hold for you. But in a bad one, when I say bad, well, in one that's not an enlightened relationship, when the person sees that part of you and all that garbage, they'll say, "What happened to the guy that was courting me? God, I didn't know he had all that stuff inside of him." And then the person will dump you. That's really rough to go through dark nights of the soul. That's why people would join monasteries in old. And if it was a good monastery, if it was a good spiritual community, they would understand this. And they could hold while other people fell apart and went through this. So that's what we're doing on these calls. One of the things, we're not just doing one thing, but one of the things is we're kind of a virtual monastery that's just going to hold for you as long as it takes till you get through your stuff. And Carla, you probably have, Carla and Terry share something on this, because I'm sure they both have experience in this area.
Well, I think whenever you lead a spiritual group, you see a lot of it, and you're just so glad you're there. You're so glad that you can hold that space for them and see them as souls, see them as who they really are, not how they're acting in the moment because they're in so much pain. And just know that this is the soul that's in pain. And then all of a sudden, you want to hold that space, and you understand. And there's a place they can come. They don't have to explain anything about themselves. They just present themselves at the front door, and it's, "Hi, how are you?" You know, and you go around the circle. I mean, a lot of times we'll go around the circle before we start meditating, and all this stuff will come out, and everybody's around there to say, "I'm so sorry," you know. And there's a powerful thing in a group that loves you and allows you to go through changes and knows that it's okay. So, yeah, I've seen it a lot, and I feel that it's one of the most important dynamics of the group is that it can be strong for you and it's no effort. There's no effort involved, of course. And nobody's being stretched because everybody's been there at one time or another. And so they're glad for somebody else it to be their turn to feel that support. So it works out great for everybody.
You know, I think one of the when somebody has not gone through their dark night of the soul, and they first discover spirit, oftentimes their first thing is to feel superior to other people. And then they look at everybody and they say, "I'm not going to go to that level. I'm not going to go to this level." And when the person finally gets it, when the first person is actually in spirit, and has learned the deepest aspects of this work, you suddenly realize that you're a garbage collector. It's not, there's no glory in it. It's like you're holding for other people. Instead of finding, I'm looking for the perfect, I need someone that understands me, I'm looking for the perfect person, you learn how to hold for other people while they go through their stuff. And that is one of the greatest blessings you can do for another person. Hold for them in true fellowship and allowing them to go through their stuff without getting pulled into their stuff. Because that's one of the things that people will do that are going through things. They'll try to pull you in, and when they pull you in, you lose your ability to hold for them. You know, I don't know if this is exactly right vocabulary-wise, but the difference between sympathy and compassion. Sympathy is where you get pulled in to someone's tragicness, and compassion is where you can hold the loving space without getting pulled in for the person. Now, you know what? We got another ding-dong email. I don't know if this is going to be the beginning of a trend or if these are two anomalies or if, you know, I always take the skeptic's point of view and say, maybe they're just making it up, because I don't think they are. In fact, I'm sure they're not. But for those, there's a lot of phenomena that happens around this work that we're doing. Phenomena means things that shouldn't happen by the normal laws of physics, but yet they happen. And you can pass it off as coincidence. You can pass it off as, you know, in one way or another, or you can consider the possibility that we actually are making a bridge to intelligences in other dimensions. And they say in their location that what we consider miracles is just normal everyday occurrence, because they're in a timeline where they think about something and boom, it happens. And we're in a timeline where we think something, we want something, and sometimes it can be a long time, if not never, that something happens. Now, I have had times in my life when I was experiencing this idea that I would think of something and it would happen. And it was in a limited area. It's not like I could say, okay, turn on light, and the light turned on. In fact, it was almost inadvertent. I kept stumbling around, and things kept happening that were kind of beyond coincidence. And it would usually happen when I would travel. I would be in a high state of having these kind of events. And when I stopped traveling, they would stop. Now I understand why that happened. And it happened because when I was traveling, I had let go of all grounding. I had let go of all control patterns. I was just floating around, hitchhiking, and my spirit was very free. And Terry and I, when we came back from Phoenix, from Denver, we had one of those experiences, and I'll share it with you. I'm going to be back to the ding-dongs in a moment. We went into a metaphysical store in Phoenix that's carrying our pendants, and I went there to collect the check. And there was this lady who was one of the psychics in the store who was at the counter, and I had an immediate feeling of connection with her. And I told her, you would really like to, I'd like to tell you some things about my work. And we sat down at this table, and we talked for about at least a half an hour, and she was really interested. And I wouldn't be surprised if one day she's on our calls. And during the course of our conversation, she was saying the one issue she had was something called fibromyalgia. And it just came up as part of her sharing. So we left that store, and we were going to have something to eat. And a couple miles away, there is a restaurant called Wildflowers. And Wildflowers was the restaurant where I had gone down and did a little flash networking events. I went there, and probably about 10 or 12 people in the Phoenix area, we all sat together, and they have a little private room they don't charge for, which Eric, who is the fellow that's the concierge at the Hilton, was kind of coordinating. So we went to Wildflowers, and we're walking into Wildflowers, and there is this really delightful, high-energy, far-out guy talking to some woman in the parking lot, an older fellow, very noble-looking. And I looked at him as we were walking by, and I said, "You don't do healing work. You're not a therapist, are you?" And then he looked at me, and he said, "Well, I'm a chiropractor." And we had a few words, and I asked him if he knew who Edgar Cayce was, and he said he did. And I said, "You know, I wrote a book that proves that Edgar Cayce's back in the world." And then I invited him to come sit at our table, which he did. Now, remember, this was like 15 minutes from leaving this woman who was the psychic. So this fellow's name was Ken, I believe. He came and sat down at our table. We started talking, and he was totally enthralled with all the stuff I was sharing. And finally, I told him that I had written a book that had been a niche bestseller. And then he told me he wrote a book, too. And then he took out this piece of paper with the cover of his book, and it was called Fibromyalgia, The Real Story. And that's how a synchronicity happens. Now, if you notice some facts about it, in both cases, I picked the people. I picked the woman. I said, "Sit down and join me." I picked Ken as I was walking in, and I went out of my way to chat with him. But I picked a guy that wrote a book on fibromyalgia, and there is a level of impossible coincidence there, beyond even the fact that I picked people, that caused it to work out in such an elegant way. And that's the way it's happened for me many, many times in my life. And what I see, I'm not having so many synchronicities now. I don't know if this is the reason or not, but one of the things is I'm standing in the center of the Maypole, and other people are having synchronicities around this work. So I don't need to go out. Well, I still need a couple synchronicities, because I know if I end up making a movie or doing certain things that are out of the box of what we're doing, I'm going to need that kind of synchronicity to bring in the right people in the right way. But we have this idea that there's an intelligence in other dimensions, and they say when we tap into their energy that we increase our potential for synchronicities. Our battery gets stronger. And they say that they can connect with us. And those of you that have been on this call regularly, on our Sunday call, have witnessed some amazing phenomena that our reality that looks fixed is really not fixed. It looks that way, but it's a creation of frequencies that come in from other dimensions. And when those frequencies in other dimensions change, reality changes fast. And these sources can create or participate in those kinds of shifts down here. And it's one of the reasons that throughout history, they've often been interpreted as God, because and from our level, it looks like impossible things. Years ago, not that many years ago, but when I was first studying this material, and I was studying the raw material, I remember, I don't remember specifically all the details, but I remember somebody sent me an email with an excerpt from the raw material. And it happened in the middle of the night. And my printer suddenly turned on and printed that email while I was sleeping. And I heard it. And I got up, and there was the email printed of this excerpt from the raw material. Now, I could only conclude that that was Ra letting me know they were there and that they were not just some invisible force above and beyond, but they were integrated. Now, they don't do that too much. They don't do it because we would give up our power to them when we realized how much power they have. And our function here as humans is to empower ourselves, not to disempower ourselves. But occasionally, we all need a little wake-up call to say this is real, because it's so outside of our logic and our conscious mind. And a couple of weeks ago, I read an email of a guy that was telling the story of how he hears me talk about this energy on our lines, but he didn't feel it. He's been coming in for months, and one night he was sleeping, and in what seemed like a dream or an altered state, he heard this ding-dong in his mind, and he described it as being crystal clear, pure, and something in him said, that's the Elohim. They're asking permission to come in. And he said, okay. And from that point on, he started feeling the energy on our line. And he was sure that that was a message from outside this realm, just as I was sure when my printer went off in the middle of the night that it was a message from outside this realm. So they will do little things. They don't do them on demand. You'll never know when it's going to happen. But you can pay attention into your life for signs and signals so that you give them opportunity, even within the framework of the mystery, to do something like that so that your logical mind can get over itself and say, this is real. So now I got another email, and I hope he doesn't mind if I read this. His name is Michael. And you know what? Just for Heise's sake, if you remind me, his area code is 530 Heise. So he might live in your area. I think you're 530, okay? So here's what Michael sent me. Hello, Wynn and Terry. I first heard of you, like so many, on Coast to Coast Radio around last September in 2012. I had just started listening to the show because I got tired of watching TV. There never seemed to be anything very interesting. Your book on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce sounded interesting, so I purchased a copy. I enjoyed it and started reading material about the Law of One on your sites. Then I started to listening to the replays of the conference calls and reading the transcripts. I purchased a Skype account to listen live to the conference calls. I started coming to the calls, but I was usually late. I had no mic to announce myself anyway. Hi, Michael, if you're listening. Recently, I have been coming to the calls. I found an old mic that works, and I've come out of the background. Oh, this is Michael from Chimina. Wait a second. You know what? This is not the recent Ding Dong. This is Michael, who was the first Ding Dong. Wait a second. I did a search on Ding Dong, and I got the wrong Ding Dong here. So that was Michael, who sent me that on June 22nd. Now, okay, let me find this. Here, is this it? Here. No. God, I can be. Susan Rush says, right on, you're talking to me. God. Oh, well. I read Michael's twice. Well, in short, I got another person that got a ding-dong. And they heard it. Their wife didn't hear it. And they were having the same kind of experience as Michael did. And so maybe this is going to be a phenomena. Maybe it's not. We can watch it. Now that I've suggested it, if everyone hears ding-dongs, people will say you're being masked, hypnotized. But in any case, we'll just pay attention and see. And I'll read that. I'll do more preparation and get the right email tomorrow. Oh, wait a second, I did send it to somebody today, didn't I? Let me see here. Or I sent it to Terry. Oh, well.
There was one person that came up to the booth in Denver, and she had read about that experience where you told her about the experience that the person had with the ding-dong Michael had, and she said she got that, too.
She did. All right.
Yeah.
So they're very polite, and it seems like maybe that's one of their ways of ringing your doorbell so that they make sure you feel comfortable inviting them in. And otherwise, it could be an indication that you and I are totally nuts. And you'll have to decide. And CJ Heal in England just said she's listening. And CJ, thank you so much for emailing. Carla, I am sure you have a good synchronicity story to tell or something like that. Or that something happened to you in this area where you suddenly knew that this was real. You have something to share in that area? Something?
Well, I have a very strange thing to share. That a lot of times when Jim and I are really focused, we're really talking in the car, and we're going down the expressway, and we're really getting into some interesting stuff. And the lights on the expressway start going out one after the other. And we've had them go out all the way down from 4 miles, you know, one after another, and you look back, they're still out back there. And you know they're on. And you see them go out. And they stay out. And they're saying to you, listen to yourself. This is really good. I can't explain it, but I wrote about it in a book, and I got a letter back when the book came out from a guy that said that not only had it had happened to him and his wife, but he started taking pictures of it to try to prove that it happened. And, of course, there's nothing about the picture of the light on so he was trying to prove it. But, yeah, that's the strangest, the most immediate thing that has happened along those lines.
Well, thank you. How about you, Terry? You have one? You had one you told me about the other day. Synchronicity? Uh-oh.
Why don't you tell it for
us? Hello?
Okay, great. Can you do you remember anything about it? And I'll bring it back. Win?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Do you remember? Yes. Do you remember anything about it? And oh, I remember what it was. I was traveling. I was on my way from Portland, Oregon to Rochester, New York, and my girlfriend had said to me that she was looking for Pat Flanagan and if I could find him to let her know. So I was halfway between, somewhere in Wyoming, I think, and I picked up a newspaper and it said, "Are you looking for Pat Flanagan? If you are, call this number." I thought, "Oh, that's really neat."
You know, one Monday we're going to do a call and have all of you who have had synchronicities share your synchronicities, because you know we have a large spectrum of people listening to us from. From one side of the spectrum is people are saying, this can't be real. This can't be real. There must be something underneath this. There must be some agenda because what Wynn is saying can't happen. And on the other side, there's people that are listening that have been in the middle of all these synchronicities all their life and having these experiences. And they know they're real, and suddenly they're getting a better explanation. Like when I was younger and having them, I didn't understand it. I said, there must be a God. That's all I could say to myself. This couldn't happen. You know, one of my most extraordinary synchronicities, because I'll share one that just knocked my socks off. And it was when I was in Los Angeles. And I was struggling to be a successful songwriter. And I had gotten an entree into an office where they had listened to my songs and they said they were going to do something with me. And it was the office of Brian and Edward Holland. Some of you are old enough might remember Holland Dozier Holland, who were the original Motown songwriters in Detroit. And they wrote classic songs like How Sweet It Is. They were all the Supremes, the Four Tops, Reach Out, I'll Be There, Standing in the Shadow of Love. I remember when I was in high school and I heard that song, Reach Out, I'll Be There. I was driving around. I can still remember. I went out of my body. I said, what a beautiful sentiment. Reach out, I'll be there. Well, everything about that relationship was synchronicity based. Like the first thing that happened was I dropped the tape off in their office and then I went into a restaurant a couple blocks away. I'm sitting at the counter, I had my hippie guitar case, which was patchwork leather that I made, and I'm talking to this guy next to me, and we're talking about music, and he looks at my case, and I tell him, you know, I'm hitchhiking around the country, I just got here, I want to be successful. And then he said he wrote a couple of songs, and it turns out, I said, oh, anything successful? He says, well, my name is Brian Holland. And then he says, we're going to have to listen to your songs. And, of course, this was an all-black office at the time. And there was still a segregation of black music and white music. And I waited a few months. Well, let's just say we had more synchronicities. I don't want to take up the time of the call to tell you all the things that happened. But they were kind of accepting me. And they were, we were planning on things to do. And then some point about 4 or 5 months into that, I used to take a walk 2 or 3 times a week on Venice Beach. And then I went into a bar to get a drink, which I never do. Very rarely do I drink. And there was a woman next to me, and we started talking, and she was getting drunk. And she invited me to come home with her. And I would say this is the only time in my life that ever happened. It's not because I didn't wish it would happen. It just never happened. And so her name was Pat Hogan. Shouldn't say her name, but all right. Pat, if you're listening. Well, I started seeing her. And a month later, she was living in an apartment house in Oakwood Garden Apartments in Marina Del Rey. And a month later, she was moving into a place called the Marina City Club, which was this luxury high-rise unit of 3 apartment buildings with about a total of 600 units. And she was renting a room from her girlfriend. So I continued to see her. And I would go over there. And one morning, I left the apartment. And I, walking down the hallway, I walked by a door, and there was an envelope scotch taped to the door and addressed to someone. This was the unit next door to hers, and it was addressed to Brian Holland. And it turns out he had an apartment in the Marina City Club. And he learned that I had a girlfriend that was next door to his apartment. And he decided, God must have sent me. He said, Wynn, have the key to our office. Use our stationery to get your songs recorded. I would like come and go. I never took any money from him. I was all free exchange. And I was sure I was going to be successful out of this. I mean, to me, it looked like God was setting this up. And, you know, only recently did I really figure out the missing part of the puzzle is that I had this past life in Egypt, and Brian was my musical director, and we knew each other. We had a super deep affinity, and that's why that happened. But I'm sharing this with you because I want you guys to have synchronicities. I want you to attract the things into your life that you need. And you can do it. We're setting examples here. And the key to this, the key to making it happen, as I see it, is learning how to project your energy into the higher dimensions where these things come about. And when you do this, you don't actually, it's not like you know you're doing it. It's under the it's kind of under the radar. You don't know you're doing it, you know. But you, but there's you can start to get the hang of it, and it's a way of being a little off center in those times when you're feeling really high and expanded, like on these calls. When we put things, that's why we put things in the light. When we put things in the light, this call has an expanded energy to it. And it's not magic. It's not the Elohim and Ra coming down and saying, we're going to grant you your wishes, and acting like they're the genies up there that can make things happen. It's you lifting your vibration into the higher dimensions and putting your intention into that space so it can precipitate into this realm. And that because we're doing this as a group and as a team, we help each other lift into those dimensions. And that is when Jesus said, when two or more are gathered, it's we need each other to learn how to feel those energies. And that as you become more adept, you know, they used to call the people who are spiritual students adepts, okay? As you become more adept, these things will start happening in your life. And if enough of us do this, we will change our entire planet, because this whole reality system here starts there and precipitates here. You can't change it here, or it's very difficult to change anything in the physical world through physical actions. But as you start learning the access of higher dimensions, higher timelines, and you put intentions into that, it creates the shift in this realm. And you start to understand what it means to be a co-creator with God or the universe or the Elohim or Ra. Because it's about co-creation. It's not about submission. It's not about, taking yourself out of the picture. You're still in the picture. And it's you are part of the divine will, or you can access that. And when you're on the right track, and when you're, the right track means for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. Those are two aspects. Maybe there's more, but those are two important ones, because when you are putting things in the light that are of that nature, for the highest good and honoring free will, you are then having a clear track. Then all you have to do is access those higher spaces, access them, so that you can put the change in motion. And then what seems to be miracles happen down here. And, of course, I think these ding-dongs are just the subtle, funny ways that they have to participate with you in a way that's respectful, respects your space, and helps you build your own confidence that this is real. And we are having something happening today, which is a first-time event, and that is Vaughn Fulkerson, who lives in North Hollywood, who's been on our calls, who has been, I actually stayed at his place in North Hollywood for a few weeks, a couple of months ago. And he has this beautiful penthouse condo in North Hollywood, which he decided to open up on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and invite people in the L.A. area to come over and listen to this call as a group, which is a wonderful idea, because up till this point, unless I showed up somewhere, unless Terry and Daphne showed up somewhere, you know, there was never a gathering together. And this is a gathering together without us being there. And it's the first time it's happened, and it might be something that happens regularly. By the way, here is Shauna has sent me a email. She was the lady that had the psychic that just lost her job after we were there. Let's see here. All right. So, getting back to Vaughn. Vaughn, do star six.
I think he went on to BBS Radio, Win.
Oh, he did. All right. Vaughn, you're probably sitting there thinking, oh my God, he's calling on me. Well, okay. We're glad you're doing this, and thank you for being a pioneer. And this can be something, should be something. It's very important for people to network in their local areas. It's very important. Number one, when people are in a room, it's easier to feel the energies. Number two, things are breaking down on our planet, in case you haven't noticed. And it's really important to develop connections with people who you can count on and trust in your local area. If any of you who are listening want to try this, and the Sunday call is a good one to do it on, email me and we'll see what we can put together. And you know, the thing about it is, don't think about big numbers. Don't think, be ambitious. If two people meet and they hold the space, that is big. You know, usually if you get ambitious and you just think, I'm going to get lots of people here, usually it screws up, okay? And you try to please everybody, and there's always people that will corrupt the energy or take it over. So if you start this and just be happy if one or two people, and let it develop like a seedling and be strong. And before you know it, there'll be lots of people. But don't look about lots of people, because I don't think it'll hold. It'll fall apart. And hello to Joshua in Austin, Texas. And he says, it's nice to hear Carla's happy, strong voice. And let's see here, Steve Zarpas. All right. I'm not going to read you, Steve, but thanks for emailing. It's 11:08, and we got to get to the other part of our call. Roger Newcomb.
Oh, Lynn.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank Jay, who sent me some beautiful flower essences.
Who is that?
Oh, thank you very much. He listens to your call all the time, and he wanted to do something. Said he sent some to Daphne, and he wanted to send some to me. He was led to do that, and I just wanted him to know how appreciative I was.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't leave him an envelope with his paper, this tiny little, teeny weeny little package that barely was enough room for my address, and no address on the other end. You know, no return address, so I couldn't.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't write him. You know me and my thank you letters, and I couldn't write him back a thank you letter. I was frantic.
All right.
So I'm so glad I got the opportunity to thank him here.
Let's see. I got an email from Roger, who has been not hearing ding dongs, but while he's sleeping, he's hearing knocks at the door, and he'd get up and investigate, only to find no one was there. Then he'd go back to bed. Next time this happens, he's going to say, come in and see what happens. Thank you for alerting me. And who else here? All right. We got a lot to do, and we're fitting it into 11:09. Now, some of you who are on these calls, notice how fast the time passes on this call. Notice that, you know, we start out, we jump in, and then suddenly it's like within a short while, time is zipping by. And do you know when time is zipping by, that is a sign that you are accessing another dimension. That's a, you know, sometimes people think that accessing another dimension is like you're going to be looking through new eyes and you're going to be seeing spacemen and planets and universes. Well, some people might do that, but I don't do that. I just noticed time suddenly moves faster, and I realized that the way time moves is a dimensional thing. And as you start accessing higher dimensions, time passes very quickly. And that's a good mark point for yourself to say this is happening. And that when time is passing quickly, that's the indication that it's a good time to put your intentions into that space, because you are in a higher time zone. You are in another dimension, part of you, and that's how you recreate your life from the higher realms, by putting intentions. And after a while, you'll end up just holding the space of that higher, faster time zone. And you know what? You won't even know you're in a faster time zone, because you have no slower time zone to compare it to. Okay? So, let me see here. We are going to go through a really quick visualization, which I know helps a lot of you access these energies. And let's just slow down and one of the things we have learned, and some of us have experienced, is that the universe is comprised of one energy. Everything is the same energy. The raw material calls this the law of one. And then it goes through a prism, or it splits apart, and there's this illusion of separateness. And then most of us have lived in this illusion for so long that we feel separate. We feel separated. Now, there's a paradox, because you are separate. Your body is your body. My body is my body. Your house is your house. My house is my house. And never the twain shall meet, except that has to do with a 3D understanding. When you go through the prism, you suddenly find out at the higher dimensions, we are connected. And every Sunday, we go through that here on this call. That we start out with the earth, and the earth is alive, and the earth has consciousness, and the earth can feel us, and the earth has hosted us. And we're going to ask the earth to come right up through the floor, your floor, my floor, we're all on the same earth, no matter where in the world you are right now. And the earth is going to come up through the floor and through our feet and say hello to us. And some of you may be feeling that tingling in your feet. And let's just say in our mind, hello back to the earth. And let us send gratitude to the earth for hosting us, for putting up with the way mankind has abused her throughout history. And we see that energy from the earth coming up through our legs, through our groin, through our solar plexus and our heart, up through our head. So it's a finger of energy from the earth moving through us, moving around us. And we are connected. And we move through the top of our head. And we imagine ourselves just, say, a foot above our head. Put the focus of your attention 1 foot above your head. Now, we're still in our bodies. We're not leaving our bodies. We're not leaving the earth. We're with the earth. What we're doing is we are creating a bridge, tying it all together. We move from the top of our head to the ceiling. And as we hit the ceiling, we see our energy turn into a fountain for a moment and surround our entire room. We go back and push through the ceiling and into the sky, up through the clouds. Now there's this energy veil around the earth. We're moving our energy above that veil. And just think of it as your imagination. But it may not be. We move through that veil. We're moving through space. We're moving through solar systems. And we're moving through time. We're moving through our track. We're moving through our past lives. We're coming to the place where we just individuated ourselves from the all that is energy. Do you know that each of us started somewhere? We individuated. We always existed because we were always part of all that is. But there was a point where we created a separate awareness, and we were innocent and pure, and we wanted to understand and experience, and that awareness took a body, and it went through many lifetimes, learning through all of these lifetimes, the experience of this realm. And for many of us, there was a lot of hurt and pain. We didn't even understand that. But let's move to the point of our innocence before any of that happened. And each of us is at that point of innocence. And we are together in our innocence. And we are touching each other. We are reaching each other. And we can dance on the edge of that group energy. where we were just created. And we can send love to each other. Let's do it. All of you, just think, I love you. And all those people that are listening to the replays, we love you. And in this place of this innocent group energy, we invite our sources to join us. Keep in mind that at one point they didn't exist. And they individuated. And it's just a huge universe project. And we are all at the point of creation. We are above all of our track, all of our hardships. All of the problems we have in our life right now, all of the things that have been done to us in this life and our past lives, all the things we have done to other people, which perhaps were less than noble. Maybe we created hurt. We didn't know what we were doing. And from this point of innocence, we can forgive ourselves. And we can forgive those that trespassed on us. Yes, it could have been horrible. You could have been a thief. You could have been stolen from. You could have been raped. You could have been abused. You could have been a slave. You could have been in a position of power and abused those that you had power over. It doesn't matter. You're above it. You're in your innocence. And from that point of innocence, we're going to ask you to put all those things in the light, all those things that you would like to transform and heal and change in your life. Because in your 3D life, you may have some struggling. And we're going to put it out that we can rearrange that, and we can get the job, and we can get along with our wife or our husband, and we don't have to judge them for their frailties or their weaknesses, that we can see through them and see their innocence. So quietly, in your mind, ask for what you would like to see shifted. Remember, for the highest good of all concerned, and honoring free will. You know what? We have a healing list, and we're going to, those people that put things into the healing list, you know, for some people, it's important to write it down. even to write notes to yourself. Write it down. And it makes it physical. It grounds the energy. Write down what you want to change in your life. We have Belinda in Santa Fe, who would like to put her parents' house in the light. They're trying to rent it. Let's just see the synchronicity for the right person to find it. And she says, is there anyone else from Santa Fe on our calls? So if there's anyone in Santa Fe, email me. And, you know, my experience is it's best to meet at a function, like to put people together for the Sunday call like this, rather than to just meet socially. Get to meet each other in a high vibration. Because oftentimes when people meet socially, they get caught up in lower stuff and it doesn't work. If you meet at a high vibration after a period, and then you meet socially, it works. And Pat in Alabama sends a light to her daughter, and it's 1 year since she had the miraculous healing you did for my aunt. I said, I don't even remember it. I talk to you every day. Thank you. I guess she's talking about the Elohim there and that she put something in the light. Thank you, Pat. Rita and David in Smithville, Mississippi. And let's send the light to them for their health and for veterans' approval and for financial abundance. They're having a tough time. Thank you for emailing us, Rita and David. Laura in Suffolk, Virginia. And she's a friend of Rita and David who lost their home due to a tornado. So she is sending the light to them as well. And Migiana in Bulgaria. Hi, Migiana. Migiana, you have a good American last name, Elliot. Varna, Bulgaria. And she puts her bone systems, especially my hip bones and my knees, and complete physical, emotional, and spiritual healing for her husband, Eric. And love and light to you all, and please bless everyone in the universe, healing energy. Thank you. And hey, send me an email, because there is a product that I know of. Anyone else may send this. There's a good product for bones and for that works really well in osteoporosis. And I have personal experience with somebody that used it for his wife. So if anyone has that issue, send me an email and I'll tell you where to get it or what it is. And Anna Dones sends a light to her brother who has lung cancer. And Anna, I'll send me an email. I'll give you a referral to another product that supposedly works for that. And Jan Stafford in Florida. And having divorce, separation, money issues, We just send the light to your whole family and all the things that are happening. Lori in Tombstone, abundance, money to pay our bills. Please protect our Constitution and Bill of Rights and help defeat Monsanto GMOs in our foods. And let the positive show more and more. Let the right people lead this country so the people can prosper and be free always. Protect the whales and dolphins and all other sea and land animals. Thank you for the highest good for all. Everyone reading, I say thank you and I love you, Laurie. Thank you, Laurie. And Greg in Post Falls, Hawaii. And this is the first time I've heard this. His local township is trying to pass, or already passing, a law forbidding planes that are leaving chemtrails. And I hope that, I'm surprised that's taken this long to happen. And we send the light that it passes. And it's 11:31. I'm going to, no more time to go any more of these, but all of you that have put things into this list, and there's a number of you today, we'll just take a moment, another moment of silence to bring the energies of these higher dimensions. Remember, if you want a synchronicity, you have to put yourself out there. You have to reach. You have to make a phone call. When we're going through those little discussions about synchronicities, you'll recall that I introduced myself to the woman at the metaphysical store. I invited her to come talk to me. 15 minutes later, I stopped this guy and talked to him, who ended up writing the book on fibromyalgia. You can't, if you want a new car and you're sitting in your apartment saying, God help me get a new car, you're not going to get the new car until you go to the car lot. If you're going broke and you have no money, start calling agencies that help. Start calling churches that help. Put your energy out there so that you can have your synchronicity. Don't sit there waiting, because it's the energy that's moving that makes something happen. If your energy is static, nothing can happen. So move your energy and don't give up. Even no matter how many months it takes, this does work. These miracles, they're not miracles. This way of working the universe, which looks like a miracle, does work. It's a higher law, and you can access it. Let's have a message from our sources through Terry. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we turn it over to our sources to address us through Terry. Thank you.
Okay, you in the love light of the one infinite creator, we take a moment and we make ourselves available for connection for each and every person that is on this call or may listen to a call later or read a transcript. We are experiencing the completion of our mission to make ourselves available to connect. It is like the completion of an electrical circuit that allows things to happen, that allows information to flow. When one communicates, when one asks, one puts it here, that they are open to change, to receiving information, to making the step, making the shift that they are desirous of. When one communicates, they let the universe know, they let others know what is needed, what is wanted, and make the connection to those things that they need and want. We are mindful of the things that each of you have asked for. And we see that you have opened the door, you have begun the communication, you have asked. And this is the beginning of a process that you can continue. Follow the little threads, your thoughts in your mind of where you can go from this point and the retrieval of a job, in the pursuing of the benefits that you wish, that you need. When you make yourself available, the communication available, then there is someone on the other side of that communication eventually to hear you, who has the wherewithal to bring the pieces together to help it to happen for you. If you have made a communication and nothing is happening, then you can continue to ask, to find other avenues, to find other people who have the power to make this happen, to merge with your needs and your desires to help you to resume your own power, to help you to put the pieces together, to begin to rebuild little piece at a time. One little thread is a strength. And two little threads can then be built. And from where you are, you can begin to see where to go, how to make your next action. We have profound love, and we feel your love, and we feel this connection with your vibrations. And we bring all of our toolbox of potential healing powers to be available to you and to strengthen your own centering so that you can, with your own yourself resume your own power. Express your own self. Come into your center. You are on the right track. You are moving from where you are to where you wish to be. And we are mindful of those that you wish to help. And you can extend through your own love to those people a greater opportunity for healing. Bless each and every person within the sound of this voice or transcription. We are there for you. Ding dong. Thank you.
Thank you. We are going to use our group energy, that place of innocence, that place that is prior to all the corruptions, distortions, and greed, and all the negative things that 3D can be filled with. We are going to move above all of that to the innocence. And with our group energy and our source's group energy, we are going to move this down onto our planet. We are using our intent to surround our planet in love, light, energy. And we can't take the power from the negative. They have their free will. That is the way the universe was constructed. And it's only through free will that we can evolve to our own place of co-creation. And every particle of life is moving in its own path, its own trajectory. We're not here to change other people's trajectories. We are here to create a new trajectory, a new trajectory of the law of one awareness, of loving your neighbor as yourself. We are the hope. And we see this light surrounding our planet and moving through those pathways of energy that are positive, that are in harmony with our energy, and surrounding those people who are reaching with pure hearts, who are looking for the innocence, which can be very hard to find in this realm. We send them, through their high selves, our support, our love, our care. We reach for them through the invisible realms and touch them. We send this energy to all those governmental agencies in power, for all those people that have the potentials for compassion. And we ask to reinforce those potentials, that we see decisions being made out of compassion and out of their own free agency and their own free will for the shift in the policies that create enslavement, that create hurt,
create control. We go back to the Declaration of Independence. All men have the right to the pursuit of happiness in their own way and finding their own truth and finding their own connections. We send this light to Mother Earth. We ask that we have time to let this energy prevail, that if there are earthquakes, if there are disasters, they can be modified away from planetary large population areas. They can be released in small doses. We know the Earth has to release these internal tensions, that things will happen, and we ask that they happen in that way. We go to the Ring of Fire, the area surrounding the Pacific Ocean, and we focus this energy that we are creating through the universe to the tip of South America. And we see it like a laser going up the west coast of South America, moving through the tectonic plates, through the earthquake faults. Now, we do this because the Ring of Fire is the most volatile earthquake zone on our planet. And it's the area surrounding the Pacific Ocean. We move through underground and see our light, our laser light, penetrating through the surface of the Earth and surrounding any of the tectonic plates with this loving light energy. Up the coast of South America, up the coast of Central America. Just see the map in your mind's eye. Up the coast of California, up the coast of, we should go to Los Angeles, which is one of those center points. Particularly, we have a group in Los Angeles. See that energy moving through you and into the Earth. And see Los Angeles protected. See this energy protecting LA. See the media industry, the movies, the television, finding ways to enlighten the masses for the highest good. We go from LA up to Ventura, Santa Barbara, up the coast to San Francisco. Another location with lots of earthquake potential. You see this light penetrating San Francisco and all the environs, Oakland, Berkeley. Concord, where we have Francis holding the space. Up the coast to Marin County. Up the coast of California to Oregon and Washington. And there's two mountains that are potential volcanoes there, Mount Hood and Mount Rainier. We move up to Vancouver, up the coast of Canada, across the southern coast of Alaska, down the eastern coast of Russia, down through China, Hong Kong, Singapore, the Philippines, and Japan. We ask to cap the energy of any radiation that's being released from Fukushima and those reactors. We move down to Australia, Indonesia, I should say, then Australia and New Zealand. and Hawaii. We moved to the middle of the country to the New Madrid Fault, St. Louis, and the surrounding states. We penetrate the earth. We move into the tectonic plates. We move to the East Coast, the Mid-Atlantic Fault. And let's surround our entire planet with this energy. And any place on our planet where there are potentials for earthquakes, for tornadoes, just ask that it all can be modified for the highest good of all concerned to allow humanity to grow. We also ask for rain where there's drought, where people can grow food. We ask for interventions in these areas where there are potentials for huge negative things going on with GMOs, with fluoride in water, with chemtrails, with artificial frequencies moving through the air. We ask our sources to disable any nuclear weapons from going off in this realm for the highest good of all concerned. We ask that there is a growing group of people who are becoming aware, who are becoming spiritual, who are holding these energies. We ask for the protection of those people. We ask for their proliferation, for this expansion. You know, it can be very frustrating because the collective energies are so skewed by the media, and we want it to change. It will only change at a grassroots level, moving upwards. We are the grassroots. Other people are grassroots. We see this grassroots knitting a blanket at a very foundational level that can lift the vibration of everything and shift those things that we would look at as negative into the positive. We see a world where compassion and care are the bottom line motivations, not greed and money and slavery. We send the light to the sun and the sun-earth connection. We send the light to all those influences in our solar system that can be acted upon in a positive way. We send the light to all those archangels, helpers from the other side, that they find positive ones, that find the way to be activated in this realm, to be of influence in this realm, to touch people. And that people that are looking for an experience, that need a confirmation, can find it. And we send the light to the work we're doing, and that it can expand. And we know there's millions of people that would want to discover this, and that there are pathways that can unfold so that they can find us. And we go back to ourselves. We send this energy to ourselves, through our bodies, for healing, for strength, for courage, for all those qualities that you need to exercise to transform your life. Each of you just by being on these calls, is learning how to activate your highest potential, and that each of you might move into that potential, find the way to do it. And all of you who are here that are helping to hold this space is making a huge difference, at least as I see it, as I've come to understand it. We are creating a focus of energy that's holding in the collective a new focus, and we're doing it. And I thank all of you and all those people that are volunteering. And just to make a note, if you happen to have some time and some abilities, we need some more transcribers. We need some people that can help maintain our websites. Please email me. And we have like a growing number of people checking into our archive sites and that are using them and listening to them. And one way to speed your process that seems to be working for people is just to get on our archive site and listen to these calls, because they have the inspiration in them. And everyone is going to fall back into their old patterns. Almost everyone. I think everyone, but I don't want to say everyone because I can't keep track of that. But it's a major accomplishment to get above your patterns. And it takes a lot of reinforcement. And the calls have this energy on them that help you do that. And plus, they have the wisdom on them to give you the keys of actual things to do and how to do things in your life. So please take advantage of our spiritchannel.net archive site. And we have loads of materials that are available for free. Carla has her 5 Ra books. She has hundreds, if not thousands, of Quo sessions to read. Start taking all this in. Spend as much time as you can. It's like a university, a universe city, universe city. It starts expanding you into the reality of the higher realms. Learning how to be a co-creator in this realm with the divine.